Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a wonderful conversation with Al Ferrero. Al Ferrero is one of the candidates running for mayor in the city of Jacksonville. Al is presently seated in his second term in District 2 for city council and has done a superb job in that category and in that position. And it is my prayer that God will open the doors and allow him to serve as mayor for our city. Al, we had a brief discussion leading up to our top of the hour news break, and we're talking about some of the things that you would have your aim set on for accomplishing when you're elected. And it's not if, let's just put it this way, when you're elected as mayor, what are the 3 top things, and perhaps you want to elaborate with others, 3 top things that you believe either broken are not being carried out correctly, or that needs to be fixed or implemented in the city of Jacksonville, that the mayor would have position of leadership and carrying it out?
Sure. So the first thing is the safety of our city. We had over 375 shootings last year, and we've already got at least one a day so far. These are ones that are on record that we know about. As an elected official, as the highest elected official, and I went through a meeting with the FOP yesterday, talking about getting their endorsement. And the thing that I told them that I would do, and I would do this, is I would ride at least one beat a month in the areas that are the most challenged, the highest crime rating. And here's the reason why, is you have to break the code of silence in these communities and neighborhoods. With all these shootings, and you hear about violence with guns. You hear that saying, gun violence. It's just violence. The part you don't also hear about is how people are using weapons for cars and other things. So crime is the first top of the list thing that I would do. And going into those areas to break the code of silence would be the way that I would do it. That's the way I did it in District 2, and it's worked, and I would do it throughout the city. The second thing is our core functions. And the core functions break down into many, many things that we have. You know, you go across the bridge in our city, and there's trash and garbage. Last year, up until April, there was a dead Christmas tree on the side of the Dames Point Bridge that didn't get removed. I would be really working also to have our jail system, where we had people from the jail system cleaning out our ditches and cleaning our sidewalks and things like that, to where, for 2 reasons. One, because we have an enormous amount of labor down there that we need to utilize and get these folks ready to come to work after they get their sentences taken care of. And 2, you want to have where children are growing up and they ask their parents, why are those people wearing black and white on the side of the road? These are things that you want people to know, that there's cause and effect for as kids growing up.
Absolutely.
You can't go and break the law and nothing happened. Right now, there's not that, you don't see that. And as I grew up as a child, we used to see that. And you would hear your parents say, you don't want to be that guy. And those are the things you need to do. The other thing, and I could go down a list of things on core functions, but going to the third thing is our budget, is figuring out you know, what we don't need in there. There was things that I was trying to cut out of the budget before of triplication or duplications of things. Nobody wants to cut anything because they feel like they're hurting the feelings or they know people in these things. The job of the government is to do things for the first job is to make our citizens safe, whether it's on a country for the whole country or in the city. But using people's taxpaying dollars should be done wisely. It should be spent like it's pulling out of your own pocket. You shouldn't be saying, well, you know, it's okay, we can do it that way. The transparency, making it easier for people to track and see what we're doing. Have people explain. Put people in some of these offices who have ideas of saving dollars for the taxpayers and actually hearing what their departments could do. Right now, if you don't, in the way it works in government, you have a certain amount of money allotted. If you don't spend it, you lose it on your next year coming through. That's not the way to encourage spending that's going to be wisely. That's saying you better spend every dime or you won't get it on the next round. That isn't the way to do it. That's not the way it's done in real life. So I would make it more transparency, but the list goes on and on. There's a whole bunch, but those are probably my top three. But let me also add on there an extra, that homelessness that we have all over the streets. We've got other counties dumping people off and other states dumping people off in our area. We've got homeless veterans that we really need to be taking care of before we start pulling in immigrants and start helping them out. We've got drug addiction and alcoholism that's just all through our country and our city. And we need to have something set up that's working. We've already putting money into those areas, but we need to look at return on investment. What are we actually getting for that money? And if it's not working, we need to try something different. And that's the point that I'm saying, that we've got people who are elected in office who are getting money for these things. If they're not working, we need to change it. We can't do it just because they're elected into office and they know this person. We really need to track it. And as the mayor, you can set those precedences and you can use that podium that he has to put things in direction and bring it out to light so people understand why the direction you're pushing it in and the reason. Because if people see that you are doing this in a way to make things fixed, or if something's not working, that you're changing it and they understand it, they'll get behind you. Don't be secretive. So those are some of the things I want to do, and I could go on and on, but those are kind of the top issues with me.
Well, I like all that you have said, and I'm in full agreement with it, and I believe it's time that we recognize that dollars from taxpayers' pockets should be spent or invested back in our city wisely, and not just, as I use the old term, willy-nilly, handing it out, doling it out for those that have the loudest voice or that's closest to the till. It ought not to be on that basis, and yet we've seen so much in our city, and I've been here for almost 41 years, and in the time that I've been here, we've seen that as a cycle, that it seems like people would go in on the basis that we're going to cut the budget, we're going to cut the spending, we're going to reduce the taxes, et cetera, et cetera. Matter of months, a matter of just a few years, all of a sudden, we've seen the budget explode and continue to dip into the till as though there's no bottom to it. And so I'm in agreement with that. There needs to be some physical restraint. There needs to be some recognition, as you said, spend it as it's coming out of your own wallet and not out of the taxpayer's wallet. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Al Ferrero, candidate for mayor of the city of Jacksonville. The election is coming up in March, and I believe it's time that we hear the facts and know who is running and why we should be primarily interested in seeing Al Ferrero gain the election of that office to represent us as mayor. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, for Mr. Ferraro, what would you do to make Jacksonville stand out in a similar way to what DeSantis has done with the state? Like, we have the free state of Florida. I would like to see the free city of Jacksonville. And concerning education, what would you do or could do to influence against the wokeness, waste, and corruption in the school board?
That's a good question. Al, go ahead.
So let me start with the school. The school doesn't fall under the mayor's office, but it can take the podium and push it in directions. You know, we have the school that's not teaching the trades that it was when I was in there. We learned woodshop, we learned plumbing, we learned welding, we learned a lot of these different things. And we have kids that are coming out that don't have the things that we took for granted that we had. And we need to have that to where other countries are doing this. And mm-hmm. our children are coming out to where they're not competing on the same level. Again, if we got people in there that are not doing what they're supposed to as elected officials, to get them out and get somebody else in there. But as the mayor, you could absolutely point out these things and try to use that office. Because, look, if we have uneducated – well, I won't say uneducated. If our children aren't being put to the same level as the competition in other countries, then we're going to be falling behind as a nation. So that would be one of the issues. Could you repeat the other part, the first part you said?
What could you do to make Jacksonville stand out, just like Florida stands out against all the other states, in a similar way to what DeSantis did with Florida?
So the crime is the, one of the first things, and when I talked about cleaning up our streets and our roads and bridges. The other thing that I think is a huge thing that we're really not doing enough on is we're known as the River City, and we're known as one of the biggest military cities around. I don't think we're doing enough in our military areas. I really don't. I think if I was elected mayor, one of the things that I would be doing is I would have a veteran center that I've talked about in the past that I would be having supported and operating by veterans. I think that's a huge thing, and as I go to a lot of veterans' functions, we hear that there's not enough things for veterans. And in fact, there was a building, the Armory, that was just recently sold by the city that I didn't support because that would be a building that I would have used for veterans. We have some old schools that are beautiful buildings that are falling down that I would be using instead of just watching them deteriorate, turning into a veteran centers for veterans to help. I would do things where we operated and opened up our river. Our river is not anywhere near where it needs to be, and it's not just where we need to do it downtown. I'm fully supportive of doing some of the projects we're doing downtown, of doing the docks and making waterway activation. But there's other parts of the city that needs to be happening as well. We've got a huge area, and I just think that we have some really untapped resources that we should be using to not – just attract other people to come to our city to take care of the citizens that we have here now, that they could use these things in our parks. We have an unbelievable park system. I would want to invest a lot more in our parks. And we saw how important that was during the pandemic, where you couldn't go anyplace else but the parks. So everything has an importance. It was set up that way. It's just that we've kind of detracted and go into different directions. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Derby, for your call. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and may God continue to bless you as you continue to be faithful in serving him and speaking up for him in our time. And as you do that, you are faithfully serving our community, which is very so in leadership. It's so very important. Thank you for introducing us to her potential new mayor. And it's a very, very great idea. And as we listen to Al, welcome, Al. We're happy to be introduced to you. And
thank you.
We will be praying and trusting the Lord's guidance as you go forward in the election. I like your priorities. I like your priorities. I listen carefully as you outlined your chief priority, which is also the one on my heart, the condition of crime in our community, security. I realize that Jacksonville is a growing city, a growing environment, has great potentials for development and is developing. But developing without the godly worldview, Christian worldview, is deceitful. We know it is not going to be good. Our country is in trouble because of ungodliness, because you have We have rejected God. We have been turning our backs on God, and that is not good. And Jacksonville, as a developing country, really need, so has Dr. Youngblood outlined at the beginning, that you're not selecting leaders. It's over. The important thing about our selecting our leadership is the biblical worldview. So we thank God for you as a young man who is offering yourself for leadership in our community. We thank God for you, and we will pray, because that someone who is able to, who has respect for God, who regards the presence of our Lord and Creator, is very important. We need
Absolutely.
It. When the righteous is in charge of people. So we are praying for you, and thank you for offering yourself, and God, may God bless your effort. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you, Lily, for your call and for your input. Spot on with your comments and your statements. Al, let's switch gears for just a moment. Normally, I do not, endorse placing names out before the public that would be those that would be the opposing candidates. But I believe we have, including yourself, is what, five candidates running for mayor?
Yes, sir.
And there's several.
And who knows, we'll pop in by next week, too.
Yeah, the deadline's next week. Where I'm headed, though, Al, is this. We've got some of the candidates are getting major endorsements. And I call it, and forgive me if I'm incorrect on my analysis of it, I call it endorsements by the Good Old Boys Club, the Power Brokers Club, and those that want to use the mayor's office and put someone in that will become a puppet for their intentions and for their directions. And the one that is now head of the Chamber of Commerce that's running, he's got, I've been told, I don't know, some $3.2 to $4 million in his war chest to run for mayor. Many of the power brokers in our city stand behind him. It's kind of the Good Old Boys Club, as I said. The question that I'm wanting to formulate is, should our listeners place a lot of confidence in the so-called endorsements by names that we've heard years and years and years? Should we place confidence in that candidate? There's one of the candidates that ads are running on television. He's not spoken yet. His wife has spoken for him. Others have spoken for him. His brother-in-law has spoken for him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But no one is, he's not spoken himself. How should our listeners evaluate the so-called candidates with major endorsements versus the ones that simply stand on, this is what God wants me to do, this is what we're going to do, and we can get the job accomplished? How should our listeners view that scenario?
So endorsements and money. I have always had the least amount of money running for campaigns. For the first time I ran for a campaign, I had the least amount of money, I had the least amount of endorsements, and what I did is I just kept working as hard as I can to show who I am. I wasn't really watching what they were doing as much as I was trying to get out the message that I was doing. And money. The other thing is, people will say, well, you know, Al, all these people always have more money than you, and lots. And I'm like, so if that's the case, then why are we even having elections? If you're able to raise enough money, they should just walk in to office, is the way you're talking to me about this. And they're like, no. And I'm like, so what is it that you like about each candidate, or what is it that you don't like? So a lot of people will say, well, I like what you're doing, but I don't think you're raising enough money. And my answer is, then help me. Help me do whatever you can, whether it's knocking on doors, having meet and greets, raising money. It doesn't matter, because I'm going to do the best that I possibly can, and I'm going to stay focused in on that. That has always worked for me. And I've always been able to not just talk, there's a problem, you know, talk about crime or talk about something on our infrastructure, but I'd rather spend my time talking to you about the solutions to that and give a solution to the groups of people and say, this is what I would do. And if you, now that I've been in office for 7 years, I also have a track record. So you can say, he's actually done that. He's actually said that he was going to do these things and do it. So, look, they're going to say whatever they can to get people discouraged to get behind you. And those are just tactics. I've had it used against me two times. The first time I won by 68%. The second time I won by 71%. It wasn't endorsements. It wasn't money. It was going out to people, just like what we're doing here.
Amen.
Now, and talking and saying, this is what we're going to do. And then I actually do it. So I do have that track record. You know, a lot of these folks I'm running against are putting themselves out as a conservative. They're putting themselves out, and they supported the HRO, or they are taking down the historical monuments and markers. They don't want to get in debates, and a lot of reasons people won't talk with me or debate me is because, you know, go off of what we're doing. Let me say to your face what I'm going to do, and then show you what I'm going to do. I don't have anything to hide behind, and I think that's important. And the mayor just tried to pass a bill where you had to leave office. He wanted to have a straw ballot. And one of the things I got up and I said this week is, as an elected official, you should take a position on something. You should tell people how you're going to support or not support something. And you should – that's really important. Don't take that away. Otherwise, you're going to get the establishment coming in here, and they're going to – you know, put the commercials out there, and they're not going to, it's going to have somebody who's not saying anything. And when somebody doesn't take a position, they can go back and say, well, I never said that. And they're not lying to you. So sometimes not talking or telling you a stance of what they're going to do, they're not lying to you, but they're misleading you from the very beginning.
Absolutely. Al, hang on for just a moment. I believe we have Ann on the phone. Go ahead with your call. I mean, with your question or comment. Thank you.
Yes. One of my concerns is human trafficking, and the state of Florida ranks among the top three U.S. states after California and Texas in reported cases of human trafficking. On February 21st of 22, First Coast News reported that Jacksonville is third in the state for human trafficking. My question to Al is, what would you do as mayor to combat this heinous crime?
Good question. I'll go ahead with the answer.
So you have to look at, where are the human trafficking happening? Are they happening in restaurants? Are they happening in bars and things like that? So we have to have tighter restrictions on it. You know, every one of these places where they have the nudie bars or any of this other stuff, and they have certain age requirements and all that, you know, I look at homelessness or things of this nature that you're talking about. Every one of those people were somebody's little girl or little boy at one time. And to me, they still are. I look at my 28-year-old daughter, and she's still my little girl. I can't imagine having a family member in those situations. So what would I do? You want to use every bit of the law of prosecuting these people. You want to use the mayor's office. You want to make sure that the sheriff's office is on board. And by God, you want to make sure your state attorney is going to be prosecuting these people and not giving them some light sentence. And you need to, again, like I've said on everything else, you need to use the power of that pulpit to get up there, and you need to thank the people that are doing what they're supposed to, and you need to call people out when they're not doing their job. We wouldn't have this problem if we had arrests and prosecutions that were going on for the people
Amen.
That are harming our children. And mm-hmm. and if we allow this, or we go silent. Silence is just as loud as war. If you're silent about something that's going on, and you're not doing something about it, it's just as effective. And so my point is not to be silent, to call these things out as they're happening, and to make sure people know right up front, as a mayor, you're going to be a strong mayor on safety for our community, whether it's trafficking, whether it's murder, whether it's drugs. You're going to call people out. As a council member, people know I'm going to call you out. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. If you're doing something that's going against my religion and my belief, I'm not going to sit back and just be quiet about it. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
And thank you so much for your call. Al, one of the things, if I can do a little parenthetical footnote on your well-stated response to that question, we need to go back to some basics with the prosecution of crime. We need to go back to some basics. As you know, I have several in my family that's in law enforcement with JSO. One son that's already retired from JSO. And he said, Dad, the problem is, he said, we can arrest the bad guys And the next morning, 11 o'clock, a judge is going to release them, either with no bond or little bond, for them to go back out and do the same crime. So it goes back. We've to have a state attorney's office is going to do the prosecution. We've got to have the teeth in the law that gives the JSO and their officers the authority to arrest crime and to make crime a non-issue in the city of Jacksonville. And the only way to do that is to prosecute it and to put people in jail with the fines that are appropriate for the crime. But we're finding a softness on crime. And we've got a few minutes left on the broadcast. Take a moment and share with our listeners how they can lock arms with you, walk the streets with you, fund your campaign, get signs out, make calls that will get you over the line and have you to be the winner in March of this year.
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you again. So we have our website, alferreroformayor.com, that people can go on. And we also have a phone number, if I could give that,
962-52. You there? I believe we lost Al. He was calling in by phone. Al, are you there?
Can you hear me?
You cut out for a while. Give that telephone number again.
Okay, it's 962-5245. I'm sorry, I'm driving, so I might have hit a bad thing. 962-5245. And it's alferreroformayor.com. And I'd be happy to do meet and greets. I'd be happy to meet with your neighborhood, your community. We need people to walk who believe in what we're doing and help us. This is how we've got across the finish line the last two times. It was people who came out and helped. Listen, when you see people wearing my shirts, they're not paid. Those are all volunteers. And a lot of times we go into groups and people go, oh, my God, you've got more people. I don't pay these people. These are all volunteers. Everybody who works for our campaign is a volunteer.
Amen.
And that will – one volunteer will take on 10 people that are being paid. But we do need your help, and we do need to get our name out. We need to get signs out. If you live in an area, we can bring signs out to you. If you know your neighborhood and you can help me get my name out, listen, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. And I'm going to put in 3 years, I'm going to get this city on track, being safer, cleaner. It's going to be a better city, and I'm going to be more transparent, and I'm going to be answerable to the people. And I will be out there with the beat officers, like I said, once you know, every month at a minimum in these areas. And I think if you start knocking these bad guys down, it'll be just like when I got rid of the internet cafes. If you don't get rid of them, you at least move them out of your city. And that, to me, is important to do. And I will do that.
Amen. Well, Al, I am so delighted that you took time to call in for our interview and our conversation today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Al Ferrero, the major, major, I think, forerunner candidate for the city of Jacksonville for the mayor's office. And I pray that you will place your vote and answer the call to help by getting the signs out, making the calls, and walking the beat with him. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Al, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.